So we just sang Faith of Our Fathers, and Cain and Abel, I guess they would be singing Faith of Our Father, because they'd be singing about Adam. And today, turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis 4, verses 1 through 16. Genesis 4, 1 through 16. And we'll read from 1 through 10 for now. If you're able to, please stand and we'll read God's Word. Genesis 4, verses 1 through 10. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Verse 5, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Verse 10, and he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. May God add his rich blessing to the reading of his holy word. Let's just remain standing for prayer. Dear God, we thank thee for thy word to tell us where we came from, why we're here, and where we're going. These first two brothers, what a terrible thing happened in this fallen world where out of envy, jealousy, pride came the first murder. And what a shame. And that he was not repentant. The murderer was not repentant. We just pray, dear God, that thou would help us to learn from this first example of the example of the first murder on earth, and how we should live our lives, that we should not be wrathful, but we should be peaceful, and we should always be rushing to thee when we have done wrong, to rush to thee to confess and make things right, because we know that thou knowest all things. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Well, please be seated. So, just if you recall, last time I preached, I was going to continue on in a summary in Revelation, but I think we'll keep that for another time, just to do a summary through Revelation. But for now, just looking at Hebrews chapter 11, we find a list of characters listed, and it's the Hall of Faith. The Hebrews Hall of Faith is chapter 11. And the first member of this Hall of Faith that's mentioned is Abel. If we read in Hebrews 11, starting in verse 1, now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I'll just stop there. That, you know, it's just telling us from creation. Creation is the first place to start when we're witnessing to someone, so that they understand which God we're talking about. We're talking about the God, Jesus Christ, that created all things. Jesus Christ, the living Word, created all things by the word of his mouth. and he created all things from nothing. So the things that we see here came from nothing, not from the things that do appear. So they came from the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so then, verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Here's a man being dead yet speaketh. Now, many people that are dead, if you go to the cemetery here in the city, you'll see tombstones. And on those tombstones, there'll be the name of the person, and then there'll be the date they're born and died. And some people say that dash in between the date that they were born and the date that they died, that's about all there was, just that dash in between. Now, some of them will have a little poem or something on there, or they might make some comment about what the person has done in their life. But for the most part, our life is but a vapor. It appeareth for a little while and vanisheth away. And as you get older, you young people, it's an exciting time. I remember when I was your age, sitting in church or sitting in school or helping mom or helping dad with different things. I remember vividly and thinking, well, life is a long time. But I'm glad I learned those memory verses early on. And so early on in my life, I understood that life is short. Even though I still understood it, I didn't realize how short it is. The older you get, the quicker it goes. And that's because there's getting fewer and fewer things to... Not because there are fewer and fewer things that we need to know or are available to be known, but just in a day, we know most of everything that's around us. We're not exploring and discovering new things. Time goes fast. And so here we find that we find the two brothers that were born. And here Cain, in our reading, we find that Cain killed his brother Abel. And so what was on his tombstone? Well, it's a wonderful thing that the scripture makes it clear that he being dead yet speaketh. And at the end of Hebrews 11, the last couple of verses of Hebrews 11, verse 39, and all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. That means they didn't see the Lord Jesus Christ or know about him in a lot of detail. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And so they are made perfect with us in the fact that we have seen the Lord's Christ, and that Jesus Christ came as a baby. He died for our sins according to scriptures, was buried. He rose again the third day according to scriptures, ascended on high. And so that's the fulfillment of it all. And what it's saying here, the whole chapter 11 of all these individuals that it's speaking of, they had more on their, so to speak, tombstone than just a dash. They are written in the Word of God. Their testimony, what it says here in verse 4, that Abel had obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. God testified of his blood sacrifice that he gave. And then that was talking about Abel, but here at the end of chapter 11, it's saying, all these having obtained a good report. They are in the scriptures. What a wonderful thing that they being dead, speak, but God specifically says of Abel, he being dead yet speaketh. So to whom does Abel speak? Well, firstly, he speaks to God. We see that in verse 10. And this is God speaking. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. So the blood of Abel was crying out to God from the ground. Now, one thing that's important to understand, when God comes to Cain in verse 9, and the Lord said unto Cain, "Where is Abel thy brother?" Do you think that God didn't know where Abel was? Some of you young people, do you know? Like, God asked a question. And I think you've heard this in some other sermons too. When God asks a question, is it because he doesn't know? He does know. He just wants us to admit. And you know what? Your parent might do the same thing. Your mother or father might do the same thing. They might ask you a question. Did you pick those things up that I'd asked you to? Often, it's not because they don't know. It's because they know and they want you to admit to, well, it'd be wonderful if you had obeyed them, that you could admit something good. Yes, I did that. Well, and then they can give you praise. Was it because they didn't know? Sometimes yes, but often it's because they do know and they either want to give you praise or they want to maybe scold you and to encourage you to do it right. So, but more than your parents, God knows everything. He sees everything. God is omniscient. And so that's true there, that when God said, "What hast thou done?" He knew what he had done. And he was making it clear that Abel was one of these that cries out, "How long, O Lord, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood?" And we see that, and we're reminded of that in Revelation. In Revelation 6, 9 through 11, "And when the Lord Jesus Christ had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held." Here Abel, he obtained a testimony that he was righteous, God bearing witness of his gifts. Verse 10 of Revelation 6. "And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." So we see not only Abel's blood crying out from the ground, but all these martyrs, people that have died for the faith in Christ, their blood cries out from the ground. God is telling us that no thing goes unnoticed by him. Matthew 10, 28 through 31. "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both the soul and body in hell." So you need not fear the devil. Now, what do we know about the devil? He's like a roaring lion, like 1 Peter tells us. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us, "Casting all our care," 5:7 and 8, "casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking him whom he may devour." Do you realize, young people? I mentioned that life is short. Some people die young. My mother says to people, she's saying to people, "Don't get old." They say, "Well, but what's the alternative? Die young?" And no, she's trying to, like, try to be healthy in your old age. But I remember as a young child seeing, mom had put a plaque on the wall, and it said, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." God cares about you, each one of us. Whether you're young or old, God cares about you. And Satan would like to destroy you, even at your young age. He is going about as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. But if you trust in God, if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God has provided for us for our salvation, you need not fear. There's no need for you to fear what may come. And that's in Matthew 10, 28 to 31. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both the soul and body in hell. Fear God. That's the beginning of wisdom. Fear God. That's the beginning of knowledge. And Matthew 10, 29, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? You know, things are getting cold outside, and you watch the little birds. Where do the little birds go? Well, some of them go south for the winter, and some of them don't. It's surprising how they survive in the cold. The neighbor has a tree full of little birds, and they're chirping all winter. But you know, they don't all survive the winter. There's many of them that the cat might get, or the ravens might get, the crows. But God knows every one of them that falls. They're not without God's acknowledgement. One of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. You ever lose a hair from your head? God knows that. He knows when the hair falls off your head, and he knows how many are left. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. And so you are valuable. You are God's precious creation, and God wants the best for you. But you know, there are others who don't want the best for you. And in this case, the very brother of Abel was jealous of him. And his jealousy showed his pride. Because when God gave him a warning, Cain did not heed the warning. He just opposed God. Now, here's the thing. If we read here in verse 5, now in verse 4, Genesis 4, verse 4, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. Abel gave a blood sacrifice. He had to kill one of the flock. Now, a flock can be good for... Now, as far as we know, people were not eating meat before Noah's flood. But a flock can be kept for milk, for wool, for a number of things, besides meat. But we know that animals were killed in chapter 3 for a covering for Adam and Eve. And so God did the first sacrifice of an animal. And here we see Abel bringing a sacrifice as well, a blood sacrifice. Now, what about Cain? What kind of sacrifice did he give? Verse 3 says, in the process of time, and that phrase, in the process of time, gives the... has implications that it was a regular time that had come to pass. And Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And so Cain gave an offering of vegetables or fruit. Now we know that vegetables and fruit can be an offering to the Lord in the Levitical system. But for a sin, for a sacrifice for sin, only a blood sacrifice can, it's only the shedding of blood that there's remission of sin. And so, verse 5, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. That's God had no respect for Cain's offering. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now, when you are caught in wrongdoing, what is your attitude? Now, you may have done wrong deliberately, and when you're caught in the wrong, you can have a right heart attitude, so you can go, yes, I was wrong, I did the wrong thing. I thank God that it's being exposed now. That's a different response than being wroth. The word wroth means to be angry. He was very wroth, very angry. Do you ever get angry when you're confronted about something that you've done wrong? That is not a good response. That is not a good response. Because what can the future be? We were talking earlier about young people. Sometimes young people don't control their temper. And then we were talking about then sometimes adults don't either. And some of them in very high positions in the world and haven't learned and not matured. And here's a situation where the very God that gave him life through creation of Adam and Eve, the very God that's talking with him, here Cain is very wroth. When I trusted Christ for salvation, I was 7 years of age. I remember that night very vividly. I was surprised how angry I was with God. I'd gone up forward at a meeting where they made an invitation to come forward for salvation. And I went forward and nobody counseled me. And I was angry with the usher that set me to the side. I was angry with him and I was angry with God. I was quiet. I mean, I wasn't blurting anything out. But I had a tear in my eye. It wasn't a tear of repentance. It was a tear of prideful hurt. Well, they think I'm just a little kid, and I don't understand this. Well, thank God. God touched my heart that night, and I had gone forward really because I thought, well, I'm going to do something great for God. I had listened to stories about Abel and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Daniel and King David. I wanted to be something, and Samuel, I wanted to be great for God. I'd do something great for God. And I thought, well, just going forward, God, I believe you want me to do that. I wasn't doing it for my own need. That's what salvation is. Salvation is when you're doing it for your own need. When you recognize that you're lost, not that you're going to make a contribution to God. He doesn't need us. He desires us, but he doesn't need us. God is not... God is fully satisfied with himself. He gives us opportunity to have this life and to be pleasing to him. So Abel speaks to God. He's able to come to Cain and say, look, the blood is there. Why? It's crying out. What have you done? He knew what Cain had done. But God is able to say that this blood cries out to him, as we've noticed in Revelation, so many through the ages have died for the cause of Christ. And they're crying out, how long, O Lord, till we be avenged? And that vengeance is coming soon. Now, not only does it speak to God, but it spoke to Cain. God was able to point that out to Cain. But it speaks to us, and we recognize that we can suffer persecution and trust God to take care of us. Now, that first murder, it was very heinous. And so Abel speaks to us. What are some of the things that the blood of, or Abel himself speaks to us? And I'm talking about like Abel and his gifts that he brought that God testifies to. He brought a gift, a blood sacrifice that was pleasing to God. And so that's equivalent, that's in line with us trusting Christ for salvation. Because it's Jesus Christ who shed his blood, a sacrifice for our sins. Now, as far as Cain was concerned, in Numbers 32:23 it says, "But if ye will not," and this is talking to the tribe of Reuben and Gad, "if they would not go up into the promised land, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." Be sure that your sin will find you out. You might hide it from your parents. You might hide it from your teacher. You may hide it from your employer. But you're not hiding anything from God. Be sure your sin will find you out if you do wrong. In Jude chapter 11, or verse 11, is just one chapter. "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and run greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah." The way of Cain is a bad way. The way of Abel is a good way. And that is Abel, being dead yet speaketh. The way of Abel is a good way. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. We read that in verse 16. "And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east side of Eden." Proverbs 14:32 says, "The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death." And so here, there was hope for Abel, because he had done the righteous thing in seeking forgiveness in a blood sacrifice. He knew that he was looking forward. Adam and Eve knew they were looking forward to the seed that would crush the serpent's head. And so that's what these sacrifices were for. In verse 11, God is saying to Cain, "And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth." And Cain said unto the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." Do you understand? He was still not repentant. He was defiant against God. "My punishment is more than I can bear." He's saying that God does not know how to punish properly. God loved him. Even to the end, God loved him. And yet he was fighting back, saying, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." And he says, "Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me." And so that is remorse. It's not repentance. You know the difference? Remorse means, well, I really feel bad that I got caught, and this is not looking very good for me. That's remorse. That's Judas did that. He went out and cried, even tried to return the money that he had sold. He had given the scribes and the Pharisees had given them money to go and find the Lord Jesus and for him to show them where Jesus was. He tried to return the money. Why? Because that's remorse. He's trying to undo the thing wrong that he had done. You can't undo the wrong that you've done. You need to have forgiveness. You can pay some restitution, but it'll never fully heal the damage. When we've sinned, we need to be forgiven. And we can't do that by being pouting and remorseful. We need to admit what we've done wrong and ask for God to forgive us. Now in verse 15, the Lord said unto him, "Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him." So we know before the flood here, at least for Cain, God did not say that he should be killed. After the flood, the command was given to Noah that whoever sheds man's blood, that's chapter 9, verse 6, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. But here, God set a mark upon Cain because, I don't know, could be that because there were virtuous people there that knew that they could trust in God and that vengeance belonged to God. Since then, since Noah's time, God has given authority to kings of the earth. They do not wield the sword in vain. God has given them that authority to shed whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood must be shed. Genesis 9 verse 6. And so that's another thing that Abel speaks to us, thing that speaks to us from Abel, is that, of course, we're warned to stifle any rising of wrath or anger. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. God can give you the power to do what it says in Ephesians 4, verses 24 to 27. Ephesians 4, 24 to 27, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and holiness, true holiness. Wherefore, putting aside away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. That's good advice. Don't go to bed being upset with your brother or your sister or your mother or father without making it right. That is good advice from the Bible. Do not let the sun go down upon your wrath. And so that's another thing we learn from Abel. He didn't fight against Cain. He was trusting in God. In Romans 12, verses 15 through 21, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So did you hear that? Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. Do you know, you can sometimes your brother or sister might do you wrong. In fact, your parent might even do you wrong. Your teacher might do you wrong. Because we're not perfect. You need to give room for your, because they're your loved ones, and even your enemies you need to love, knowing that, like the scripture says, give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. We can trust that God will repay wrongs that are done to us. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Isn't that encouraging? He's saying, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him. That's your enemy. It's not because you're siding with the enemy. It's because you even love your enemies, as Jesus told us to do. And so Abel teaches us that persecution must be expected by the righteous. John, 1 John 3:11 through 13. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that ye should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. So do not be surprised if the world is going to hate you. Don't be surprised if the enemy is going to even still do bad things to you after you've done good things to them. Because you're not doing it for praise or honor or glory. You're doing it to praise God himself that gives you the power to do that. And one thing we do know, that there is a future state and an eternal recompense to be enjoyed through faith in Christ and his atoning sacrifice. Now, many people in the world can do this. People that are lost do not trust in Christ. They can. They're very well disciplined, and they can love their enemy and do good to them that hurt them. But they're not saved. They're not pleasing to God. They need to trust Christ for salvation. You see, here in the Old Testament, one thing that Abel teaches us, that he gave a sacrifice for himself. And Cain gave a sacrifice for himself. And we see that that was carried on. Noah gave a personal sacrifice. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, each one of them gave a sacrifice for themselves. But by the time we see the Passover happening, the law had not been given, the ceremonial law had not been given yet. And here at the Passover, a sacrifice was given for each family. One sacrifice was good for a family, and even more than one family could share one sacrifice if they were too poor. And then by the time the ceremonial law came, the high priest could give one sacrifice for the whole nation. And then by the time Jesus Christ came, and John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world," the whole world. And that is what we have now. Very much the way that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the Sabbath. We don't commemorate the Saturday, the last day of the week, which was part of the law. We celebrate the first day of the week that celebrates the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because we recognize that the sacrifice that he gave not only is good for the whole world and us today, but all of those heroes of the faith that we find in Hebrews chapter 11. That was what they were looking forward to. They were looking forward to that Messiah that would come and give his blood, to that Lamb of God that would come and shed his blood, and so that they could be free from the works of the law. Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. And so we can live righteous lives. People that trust Christ for salvation, what is the will of God for them? Even their sanctification. That they do live righteous lives. And so nothing is against the law for those that are walking in the Spirit. And I'm saying that are fulfilling, like actually walking in the Spirit. Against those things, there's no law. There's no law against doing right. And that should be the life of every believer. Now, of course, if we do wrong, just like we discussed in Sunday school this morning, that is why we do need to have our feet washed. That illustration, we're clean every whit, except save to have our feet washed, meaning that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, Matthew 5:11, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Matthew 5:44, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you." John 15:20 says, "Remember the word that I said unto you," this is Jesus speaking, "the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted you, they will also persecute If they have persecuted me, Jesus is saying, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Romans 12:14, bless them which persecute you, bless, and curse not. That's a good thing for us to learn for this day, in the coming week, and for the rest of our lives, no matter how short it might be. Bless and curse not. Love your enemies. Do good to them that persecute you. Okay. May God add his blessing to reading of his word and to his Holy Spirit guiding us into all truth. Let's just bow for a word of prayer. Dear God, we thank thee for thy goodness, for this that Abel, being dead, yet speaketh. He speaks, he had spoken to you, and you had demonstrated that his gift was respected because it represented the Lord Jesus Christ. 4,000 years before the Lord Jesus Christ ever came. And then when the Lord Jesus Christ did come, how many in Israel and around the world knew that this was the Messiah. The wise men came from the east. The shepherds in the field. Many people were waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And so we thank thee that this provision was made and that there's a free gift for anyone, whosoever will, may come and appropriate that gift of eternal life. We pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.